Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, dear to be different. My name is Ismail Vriyava. Just wonderful to have you tuning in, whether it's via the audio streaming midway 1548 Satellite Islam, and to our family that's joined us on DSTV on 826. And a wonderful and warm welcome to all of you. Looking out this morning at the studios of Radio Islam, clear skies, brilliant weather, excellent weather to be out in the garden. And I know many of our garden enthusiasts will be out waiting to go out and do some gardening. Mohammed is smiling and says, well, I'm not definitely doing some gardening. Well, on that light note, and today we're definitely going to do something that's different. And we've got a wonderful guest online, and we're going to be talking about an art form in gardening, and that is something that's very specialized. We have done some of this in the past, but I think it's just something wonderful. And if we can get people to be interested and to take up, will be excellent. And also a plus for us this morning is that we've got some of this on display at Radio Islam's, and we'll be here right until 12 o'clock. So please, if you'd like to join us and come and view some of these specimens, you're welcome. It's at 35 Kirkwood Avenue out in Indonesia. And this morning we're talking to Errol. Errol Rubin is part of the Bonsai Society. That's the Eastern Bonsai Society. So we're talking bonsai this morning. Hi, good morning, Errol.
Good morning, Ismail, and good morning to your listeners.
Thank you very much, and like I said, it's an art form and something that I'd love to get people interested in. Now, something that always, you know, becomes miniature, smaller, seems to attract lots of attention, and, you know, people get excited when they see these. You know, at the moment, there's lots of things that are being developed in the garden industry. When I talk about, you know, they're planting smaller cucumbers and smaller peppers and so forth, and all of them seems to be so excited. But here's an art form which has developed over many hundreds, in fact thousands of years. Started out in China and that part of the world, went on to Japan, and it's also been part of the culture of Vietnam. And today we know it as bonsai. This morning you're going to help us unravel some of that and take us through this whole history. And also we're going to demystify, because lots of people are not sure what bonsai is. Is an indoor plant, outdoor plant? What is it? You know, what do you have to do? And I think there's a lot that you're going to share. So let's start at the very beginning. Errol, what is a bonsai and where does bonsai come from?
Well, let's start off with what is a bonsai. A bonsai, firstly, the term bonsai is a tree in a pot. So bon is tree and sai is pot. However, the original principles of planting plants into pots started in India. So when the apothecaries used to travel, they used to take herbs with them, and they found that when they dried their herbs, the first couple of stops, their herbs were more effective because they were still green. As they continued along their trip, so the trees started drying out, and they became less effective. So they started potting plants into soil and taking them with them on their trips. So that's where the principle of potting started. And I've got a reference point I think it's Hindi that unfortunately I can't pronounce, so I'm not going to try. But then that principle moved over into China. And in China, they developed different art schools. So yeah, you had horticulture joining with art. And art is where the artistic impression gets translated by the person to into a horticultural product, and that is called pensai. So the Chinese call it pensai. The Hindu monks, when they went over into Japan, they carried that principle with them, and that's how bonsai got started in Japan. And there are paintings or drawings of bonsai as early as before BC, so very, very early years, where these principles started, and in Japan is where they matured. The Japanese, as we all know, in the late 20s, were very good copiers. They copied everything and they made it better. And they did the same with bonsai. And they went and classified different styles of bonsai. And you get five styles, which In English, I'm not going to mention the Japanese names. In English, it's a formal upright. So a formal upright is an upright tree very similar to a pine tree. An informal upright are all the trees that you see generally in nature where you don't have a very straight trunk. You then have a slanted style, which is a tree that is slanted between 90 degrees and 45 degrees. And then you get a cascade, which is a tree that's growing off the side of a mountain. And you get a semi-cascade, which is a tree that's growing out from the side of a mountain, but more out than down. So that, if you take any tree, you can classify it into those five basic styles. So that's what is a bonsai. So it came from the potting culture, and it is a combination of horticulture and art. I hope that clarifies that, and if anybody has a question that they'd like to call in, I'm sure, Ishmael, you'll be able to accommodate that.
The number to dial this morning, 854-1548, any queries, any calls. Remember, we're talking specifically bonsai. If you have any other garden-related queries, unfortunately, this morning, we're only doing bonsai, so if you haven't, you'd like to. And we've got the expert online, that's Errol Brubin. He's from the Eastern Bonsai Society, and he's telling us about bonsai. He's going to take us through everything that we need to know about bonsai. The history is fascinating. I was always and looked at her books, and also it came in from China into Japan, and from there into Vietnam. But now you've dated and said it was brought in from India as when people went on route, taking their herbs and so forth, and then that would be the initial stages of putting plants into a pot. So bonsai is about putting a plant into a pot. Is that, would that be the best understanding?
Correct. And, then you start looking at the artistic side. And bonsai is about not just putting a plant in a pot, because you want to create a tree that looks like a tree that you've seen in nature. So I spoke about the five different styles. And when you see a tree in nature, you then interpret that and say, okay, I need some rules, I need some guidelines as to how do I create this picture with a living plant, and that's where those rules come into play.
Before we go into the rules, let's just step a little bit back. So now we have got the historical understanding of where bonsai came in. Now, we do have records of living trees that are a couple of hundreds of years old. Is that correct?
Correct. And the Japanese Royal Collection has got trees that are hundreds of years old.
Okay.
When we collect trees in nature, and we are given specific permission to go and collect trees from specific places, like, for instance, in Port Elizabeth, they're disappearing the new... excuse me... the new harbour in Kucha, we've been given permission to go and dig out very old olives, and we've estimated some of those olives to be over 200 to 300 years old. So that's where the age comes in. But getting back to bonsai and the design of this bonsai, you can take virtually any tree and turn it into a bonsai. But there are a couple of things one needs to take into account.
Before we go on to design, I just want to sort of, give our listeners an understanding of how bonsai fits into a modern society. Because we've had, bonsai coming, you've given us a history, and then there was a lull, and then suddenly after Second World War, bonsais seem to have sprung up. Now, what was the reason for that coming into what we term into our lives? When we talk our lives, we talk away, moved away from where it originated, from Japan and China, and how did it come into, into the broader society? Take us through some of that before we go into the actual
tree. Well, basically, the American soldiers, you had a situation where some Japanese people had emigrated to America, and they established themselves. A gentleman by the name of John Narco is a very well-known bonsai artist. Unfortunately, he has passed on. But he was based in the USA, and he had gone as a gardener into the USA with his family, and he'd established himself, and he was also a bonsai expert. So in that way, in that way, the culture was carried across into America. But the American soldiers after the Second World War came back, and they started speaking about what they saw in the Japanese culture. This thing of bonsai, and the first known display of bonsai in the West was in France, where in the early 1920s they had this World Fair, and Japan displayed bonsai there, and it blew everybody's mind, because how can you have such a big tree depicted in such a small form? So the culture and the practice of our hobby was carried across by the Americans, and that is how bonsai spread throughout the world, together with books. Books have carried the message across, and you can speak to anybody. This is pre the internet age. Everybody's got books on bonsai, and everybody looks at a book, looks at a picture, and then tries to interpret that and create their own tree with that feeling of how nature has impacted on a tree. So when you design a tree, you actually interpret, for instance, a tree called a windswept. If one goes down to Cape Town and you drive along Duval Drive and you see those trees along the side of Table Mountain, you'll see how the wind has affected those trees. And that's exactly what we interpret into bonsai.
Now, bonsai has reached a worldwide audience, and we have over hundreds and hundreds of books. In fact, we've run into 1,000 or more books, and we have hundreds and thousands, in fact, millions of hobbyists that have now become part of this bonsai society. Now, in South Africa, take us to the history of how did bonsai come to South Africa? Because from my own experience, I know I've seen bonsais in the early 60s. Yeah, in South Africa, is it older than that? Was that the time it came, or when did it suddenly start flourishing here in South Africa?
Well, there were a number of people that started bonsai in South Africa. One of them was a lady by the name of Becky Lucas, and her collection she donated to the University of Stellenbosch, and there's an arboretum in Stellenbosch where some of her trees are still alive today and can be seen. In Johannesburg, we had a guy by the name of Doug Hall, who was an alpine plant hobbyist. He worked in the liquor trade, and as his hobby, he grew plants. And then he was exposed to bonsai by a Chinese gentleman called Peter Tim. Peter, in actual fact, was a very deeply trained horticulturist, and he exposed Doug to this culture of bonsai, and Doug wrote the very first South African book on bonsai together with a gentleman called Don Black, and this was in the late 60s, early 70s, and bonsai was linked to the horticultural societies across South Africa. So you had a branch of the Horticultural Society which specialized in bonsai. But it was found that the Horticultural Societies were very restrictive in trying to further the art of bonsai. And the bonsaiists then created their own club. And our club, the Eastern Bonsai Society, was based not in the East, as one would interpret our name, but in the east of Johannesburg. It was based in Kensington, where Doug Hall lived. And he had a garden, and we all used to meet in his garden, and he had his bonsai collection at the back of the garden. And that's where we learned bonsai. So I started doing bonsai in the late 70s, 78, 79, and I've been doing it ever since. So, but the internet has changed things, because all of a sudden, all this information that was in a book that you would make a point of going to buy and then read and then try and put into practice is now available online, and people tend to go there and try and then copy. There's also a lot of videos online all about bonsai.
Thank you very much for that. And Arul, when we're going to go break for news just now, but when we come back, I want you to take us through, you know, the cultivation, what type of trees do we cultivate, or what type of trees are good for. Then we're going to also look at perhaps some of the techniques and care. And then you spoke to us a little bit about the aesthetics you spoke about. And then, you know, take us through some of the, you know, displays. And, you know, there's a big science around containers. You can take us a little through the containers. You spoke about the bonsai styles, which you've done. And well, let's see how far we can get. So there's lots more to share with our listeners. We'll come back after the news. We're going to break for the news. And when we come back, we'll continue. Thanks, Harold. We'll talk to you just now. Thanks, Doug. Bye-bye. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's day to be different, and this morning we are being different, and we've got a wonderful guest on, and that's Arul Rubin from the Eastern Bonsai Society. Welcome to all our listeners, wherever you are. Some of you still outside, some of you in bed, some of you having breakfast on your patios, but wherever you are, it's a wonderful opportunity this morning. If you're looking for a different hobby, something to de-stress, it's a wonderful opportunity to talk to the experts and also come and view some of the specimens that will be at on display at Radio Islam. So that is the specimens, some of the bonsais are here this morning. And we're going to be talking to Arul now. We talked about the history, which is so important for us to put in context. And we're going to now look very quickly at some of the things. And remember, if you don't complete the conversation, you could come into the station and talk to some of the hobbyists that are here, and they will take us through some of the other things that you may want further explanation of. Thank you very much, Arul. Now, when you look at you know, material sources, can any plant be made into a bonsai?
Yes, any plant can be planted into a pot. But let me just point out, you mentioned people wanted to know more about bonsai. We are also having a show next week, and we'll talk about that a bit later. But I thought I'd just put it in there just as a reference point, because we do accommodate people who have looking for knowledge to come and join us and find out more. But getting back to your question on can any tree or any plant be turned into a bonsai? Firstly, it needs to be a tree or a shrub. It needs to have wood for it to be a bonsai, because you want to style the tree into a specific style as formed by nature. So if you want to, when we drive down to Natal, you see those lovely acacia trees. They're known as umbrella thorns. They're sitting on the side of the mountain, and you have this lovely umbrella shape. We use wire to train a tree into that shape. So it's important that it's a plant that is woody and not just a house plant that you might, you know, plant in a pot. So that's the first principle. The other principle is one of size. Because we're taking a normal tree and we're putting it into a small pot, we are going to contain the environment that tree grows in. It's very important that when we do that, we have scale, so that you don't have a small tree with very big leaves, because it just won't look right. You want a small tree with small leaves. So if we take a lovely blue gum tree that's got a lovely white and brown trunk, you know, if you imagine those blue gums tall and very stately, sitting outside in the garden or in a park, they've got those very, very long leaves. Blue gums do not produce their leaves sufficiently to fit into the structure of a bonsai. Because you'll have a small tree, you can reduce the tree, that's not a problem. But the leaves won't reduce. So you'll have the small tree with these huge leaves, and they just won't look right. So a tree that's very suitable to reducing its leaves is one of our indigenous wild olives. It's Olea Europa var Africana, which is the technical name, but it's a wild olive. It grows wild in the felt, and in the felt it's got big leaves, but when you put it into a container, those leaves reduce significantly. So you now have an appropriate sized leaf for the tree, and that's very important.
I've got a query that's come through. A person says, I had a bonsai growing well until I neglected for a while, and now it's grown big. Can I get help to restore it to its original size?
Definitely. We run a clinic at our show. Come to the show. The clinic itself is free. And then if you want to have a look at the trees on display, the entrance fee is 20 rand for adults and 10 rand for pensioners and kids over six. So our show is held at the Reinkies Estate in Highlands North, very close to the Balfour Park Shopping Centre in Reinkies Laagte Road. So it's Reinkies Laagte Road, Reinkies Estate, and we're in the main hall there, and we will have on display in excess of 50 trees of various ages, various styles, and they're more than welcome to bring their tree along, and we will help them for nothing. They will, if they need to repot the tree, they do need to buy the requisites that they would use or that we would use to help them. But the advice and guidance is free.
Okay, so we spoke about trees, and you say that the wild olive. What about the ficus? Because I see that's a tree, and the junipers, are those the two other popular trees?
Yes, ficus are very good trees, but now you get different types of ficus. We all know about the rubber tree, the one that everybody grows in their home with those very, very big round leaves. That specific species of ficus is not suitable for bonsai. Why? The leaves don't reduce. Whereas if you take the well-known Ficus natalensis, which is the wild fig that grows in Natal, and there's lots of them growing all over the place, in walls, on the street, they have those hanging roots. Those are ideal for bonsai because, again, they reduce their leaves so significantly, and you can get a very, very small leaf. But the smallest leaf on a fig is the Davy fig or the felt fig. Its leaves are so small that it's unreal. It's a fantastic specimen. And you will see some of those at the show.
What about fruit trees? You know, do they make good bonsai trees? You know, we take perhaps the pomegranate, which is very popular. What about other fruits? Do they make
good? Yes. The interesting thing about fruit and flowers is that fruit and flowers are produced by a tree following its genetic code. So if it is a big fruit, on a small tree you can reduce the size of the tree, but the fruit will remain big. So if we take a pomegranate, there are two types of pomegranates. There's the normal pomegranate that is big, and when you put that on a bonsai, it's just not going to look right. But you get the miniature pomegranate, and they are sold in at nurseries where you get the miniature pomegranate, and that is ideal for bonsai. It not only does it reduce its leaves, but it gives you the small fruits as well. One of the things, again, one needs to be cautious of is that when you grow fruit on a tree, producing the fruit takes a lot of energy out of that tree, and therefore you could find that if you leave too many fruit on a tree, that tree will die because it's spent all its energy trying to recreate seeds for the next generation that it kills itself. So that's dedication to the future.
Thank you very much for that. Now, let's, you know, whilst many people saying they want to buy and want to look at, we're not going to go through the techniques because that's very technical, but let's go through something about care. Now, is it true that we kill bonsai by overwatering, underwatering, and treating it like an indoor plant?
Yes, very much so. Well, one of the things that one needs to take into account is that a bonsai is not a houseplant. We all grow houseplants, and they give you a nice green spot in the house, but they grow in a closed pot. Now, you right at the beginning of the talk, you spoke about pots and the speciality. A bonsai pot must have drainage holes. It must drain, allow the water to drain out, because the roots of a bonsai, of a normal tree, if in nature, what would happen is those roots would grow towards the water, and then they would sit close to the water and feed from that. In a bonsai pot, it can't go to the water. You need to bring water to it. And most people kill their trees because they're underwater. If you overwater, your risk is root rot, because The roots don't like being wet. You don't like sitting with your feet in cold water all the time. Similarly, a tree. So, but once a day, one should water a tree and allow the excess water to drain away, and your tree will be very happy. At the same time, depends on where you keep your tree. If you keep your tree in a very, very hot spot, very hot sunny spot, then the water in the soil is going to evaporate. And in that case, you need to water again. So the best rule of thumb is if you take your finger and you rub it into the soil of your bonsai and the soil is damp and it sticks to your finger, it's still moist enough. But if you rub it in the soil and nothing sticks to your finger, you need to water, otherwise that tree is going to die.
Now, you know, one of the principles of the bonsai is aesthetics. You know, it must be looking, you know, it's got to be symmetry, it's got to be miniaturization. Tell us something about that, because, you know, it's not just about taking a tree and putting it. It has to have all these formal structures. Is that correct?
Yes. Well, let's start off with going back to the pot. So the pot is a frame to the bonsai. So one is not going to take a pot that is a meter deep and put a bonsai that is 500 centimeters into that pot. The tree would look lost. The pot would be too big. So when we pot a tree into a pot, we choose a pot that balances off the tree. At the same time, the pot is there to keep the soil. And when you water, you know, the soil, at least some of the soil will remain damp. That's the one principle of potting. Then when you look at a tree always has a front, it has a back, and it has sides. Because we live in a three-dimensional world. And when one looks at a picture, you only get two dimensions. And that's the beauty of a club. At a club, you get someone else who looks at your tree, and they see something different in your tree. They might see a different front. They might see a different feature in your design. And then that's where we have advice sessions. We call them critique. And a more experienced grower would look at the tree and say, by the way, don't you think that branch should be a bit more to the right or a bit more to the left? And then to do that comes technique, because we use wire, we use we clip and grow, we cut branches, but we seal them because we don't want the branch to die. So there's a lot of technical knowledge that you need to build up to be able to grow a decent bonsai, but anybody can do it. And that's the beauty. It is not something that is a secret formula that only a few people know. We share that knowledge quite openly at no cost other than being a member of the club. And the club environment is really where you are able to develop your hobby and take yourself to the next level. And if you're an artist, well, all the better. I keep on saying, I'm not an artist. I'm a numbers person. To me, one and one can only equal two. It can never equal 5, 7, or 12. An artist, it always equals 5, 7, or 12. It never equals two. So I'm too anchored in the physical and how to create and maintain a bonsai. Whereas an artist just has that interpretation and puts just that extra special effort and interpretation into his tree, and you can see it. You can see the artist's trees when you look at a show. But getting back to the techniques, we spoke about potting the tree into a pot, and when we pot trees, we don't just go and cut off the roots, because without roots, the tree won't survive. We leave roots. But if, dependent on the species, you do certain things. For instance, a baobab. When we grow baobabs, the roots develop thick and big because they store the moisture. And if you go and cut those, you then have to go through a specific sterilization process using flowers of sulfur, which is a insecticide dust, and we leave the roots in the sun so that they can dry out and seal properly, so that you don't allow any infection into that root, otherwise that root will rot. So all these techniques you learn at a club, and you learn through doing.
Errol, sorry, we do not have much time, but I want you to just take us through some. Now, while this seems all seems very daunting, and you spoke about the artistic eye and so forth, you know, would it be, I beg your pardon, anyone who wants to become a grower bonsai, wants to enter into this particular hobby, what advice would you give them? Because, you know, people would say, and I'm going to cite my own example, you know, I've had bonsai, many of them, but I've never been successful. I've never been successful with them. I've always seemed to have done something wrong. And I'm saying, well, we do have lots of people who wanting to do, and it seems so daunting. Is it as daunting as it is? And you know, you've got the support. You say your club gives the support. People could come in. What would you say to the end with regards to, is it a hobby that de-stresses one?
Definitely. I come from the computer environment, and what I found was when I got home and I was working with my trees, I clean forgot about all the pressures of work, and I was able to focus. People say, how much time do you need to spend to grow bonsai? Well, it depends on how much time you're prepared to spend. If you speak to my wife, my wife would say, I spend too much time on my bonsais. If you speak to me, I don't spend enough. I need more time to be able to design and train the trees. But we run a beginner's course, which we run after our show. And at the beginner's course, we give you all the basics that you need to know. And then we support you right throughout there through the club to help you. As I mentioned earlier on, our show is on at the Reinkies Estate in their main hall in Reinkies Laughter Road in Highlands North. And that will be next Saturday and Sunday, the 8th and 9th of October. And then we'll be running a beginner's course on the 29th and 30th, the weekend of the 29th and 30th of October. It's not expensive to get involved. On the beginner's course, you get a basic manual. You get a nursery tree on which you learn how to wire, how to pot. We include lunch and teas. Please tell us if you are Muslim so we can cater for you appropriately. Tuition, friendship, and it's normally a great learning experience.
Well, thank you.
Come to the show.
Sorry, man, I want to say that thank you very much for all that information. Errol, now you say the show is happening on the 29th, on the 8th and 9th of October, and that's at the RJM Hall in Reinkies Estate, Reinkies Laughter, in Highlands North, and there's a cost of 20 rand per adult, 10 rand for pensioners, and 6 rand for kids. But then you also I beg your pardon?
No, so 10 rand for kids over 6.
Okay, 10 rand for kids over 6. But then you also have a special event happening on the 29th and the 30th of October, and that's anyone who's able to learn to create how to do their very bonsai. That's a beginner's course, and that will be happening on the 29th and 30th. And you've got a book for that, is that correct?
Yes, you get a booklet, which...
I beg your pardon. I said you've got a book for this particular event.
You've got a book for that, and that, the cost of that is 650 rand.
Okay.
4 hours. It's a show special. Normally, it's in excess of 800 rand for training.
Would you like to give us your number, Errol?
Yes, my number is 083-419-3109. I repeat, 083-419-3109. And any advice and guidance, with pleasure.
And, of course, you do have an email address. Could I share that with the listeners?
Yes. Okay. The bonsai email address is bonsai, B-O-N-S-A-I, @pixie.co.za. So it's bonsai @pixie.co.za. I always say it's small at small.
And you do have a website as well as a Facebook, is that correct?
Yes, we have a Facebook presence, and we do have a website. The Facebook presence is just look for Eastern Bonsai Society, And the website is ebs.org.za.
Unfortunately, we've come to the end of this hour. I do apologize that we haven't been able to take any more of your queries and questions, and we haven't been able to explore this, but it's a fascinating subject. And thank you very much to Errol for bringing, you know, and sharing this information with us. So those of you who would like to go, remember the Bonsai exhibition. And we're also very fortunate. Some of the members of the Bonsai Society have brought some of these specimens here. So if you'd like to see what it's all about, want to see, you can talk to some of the younger people who are dancers at the radio station. They'll take you through some of it. But thank you very much, Errol, and I do really appreciate it. And we'll be chatting again in future. You take care.
Pleasure, Ishmael, and when you come to the show, please come up to me and let's chat.
Thank you very much. You take care. Thanks, now.
Pleasure. Bye.
And that was Errol Rubin telling us about Bonsai, Eastern Bonsai Society. I must say to you, a fascinating subject, and there's so much that we can share with our listeners. There's so much we can take, and if you'd like to come and view some of them, they brought some lovely specimens. It'll be available. It will be on display until around about 12 o'clock this afternoon. So they are here. Please do come in, come and view this, come and talk to them. It's a wonderful, wonderful experience. That's all for me. Until we meet again, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.